Radio Pulpit, 657 AM.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
Dr. Shamatla, evening and welcome, sir.
Well, good evening, Dr. Moabi, and good evening to the listeners.
So we're continuing with our topic of estates. It's something that we started, I think, a week or so ago. And hopefully many people came with the questions that you can be able to, address and answer this evening. But before we get into our topic this evening, let's quickly look at some of the cases that you managed to solve over the past few days.
Yes, in that way, our job at times is a routine work, obviously. But at times there are obviously unique cases, or there are interesting cases. And it's the issue of sometimes understanding or misunderstanding of the process. We had a case here of a gentleman who owned three cars. And the cars have been repossessed, all three of them. And today, so when they would be, because repossessed and auctioned, he was not informed by the bank.
He was not informed by the bank
about the sale of the vehicles. So what happens is that the vehicles were repossessed legally, so because they had the judgment, but they didn't fetch the vehicles from him. One of the vehicles was at the penalty test for repairs. It had an insurance. It was a BMW. So it was insured. The new shape. And then the other one, it looks like it was somewhere, but they managed to trace it and they got it. And the third one was somewhere. He was doing business with this vehicle.
Okay.
Like renting them out. So because of COVID, remember, there were no movements.
Yeah.
So people couldn't use them. Therefore, he defaulted on payments. So they obtained judgment. They declined his proposals that he tried to make. So now, when they sold the vehicles or auctioned the vehicles, they didn't notify him of the sale date or auction date. And they auctioned the vehicles. They didn't tell him how much they have auctioned the vehicles for. So until he came to us, he was just asking what could happen if they sold the vehicles at a loss. If there's a shortfall, what would be the next step for the bank? We said to him, the next step would be for them to either apply for what is called Section 65 steps.
Section 65?
Steps.
Oh, okay.
That means attaching his movables. I'm sure you have seen at times the newspaper adverts, whereby they've advertised the furniture being auctioned. The kettles, the microwaves, the irons, all those things. The trays, the utensils, all everything in the house. That's when the credit provider has applied for Section 65 steps to attach all the movables. So, is either they do that or they can issue. So he was a businessman, self-employed, so they couldn't can issue. So they decided to, last week, to contact him, to alert him that, hey, there is a shortfall. But they sold the vehicles at a ridiculously low amount. A 350,000 rand car. Was sold for less than 20,000 rand.
They're joking.
Yes, that's what it would. The other vehicle was sold at 40,000 rand. And the other one, I think, they sold at close to 100,000. Because remember, at auction, different people bid for different vehicles.
Yeah.
Yes. So he started off with the first one, the one that they sold for less than 20,000 rand. He said, those vehicles have got run flat tires. Those tires are expensive. And those cars had no tire on.
And they obviously cost more than 20,000.
Exactly. That's what I was coming here.
How did they arrive to that? Yes.
Yes. The engines were intact. Gearbox were intact. How did they arrive at the amount of 20,000, 40,000 and other one? So we intervened, and then we spoke to the bank, and they argued that the first vehicle was at the panel detail. Therefore, the private had a lien over the vehicle, meaning they had the right of claim on the vehicle before the bank. There's this thing called a garagement lien. It applies to both the parameters and the garages.
Okay.
And so what happens is that you can't take your car in for repairs. Either at the parameter or at the garage, maybe for service or whatever the case might be. If you do not pay for those repairs, you don't pay that invoice. You don't settle the invoice.
If you don't do what we lost you there, if you don't pay?
If you don't pay or settle the bill,
okay,
the invoice of the garage,
yes,
or the parameter, they have got what is called a lien, a right over that vehicle.
Okay.
They can contact your bank that you owe money to. To say, this person is owing us. The bank, if you're interested, come and fetch your car from us and give us our money. So in this case, the parameter said to the bank, hey, bank, this man is owing us money. So they quoted an amount that is more than the value of the car. Rightly or wrongly. So if the vehicles were 350,000, they charged like 400,000. So the bank said, no, we can pay that amount. So if you can give us 18,000 rand, we'll give you the papers, you can keep the car. That's what happened. They sold the car for 18,000 rand. On the other hand, the parameter came from the insurance paid him. He got the money and the car. So he was not supposed to keep the car or claim from the bank because the insurance has already paid.
I wonder how much was he owed?
Whatever the bill was, even if it's just 200,000, 250,000, there was an insurance.
Yeah. And the insurance paid him.
Yes.
Which makes it fraud, eh?
Yes. So anyway, when we informed the bank today, the bank said they're going to speak to the lawyers to take action against the insurance. But that's fraud.
The insurance or the panel beater?
I want to say the panel beater, sorry.
Oh, okay, all right.
The panel beater, because the panel beater has committed a fraud.
Yeah.
Because they had already been paid, but they lied to the bank and pretended as if they have not been paid. Hence, the bank has given them the car. Normally, this type of thing we see with girlfriends and girlfriends.
Okay.
Whereby a girlfriend or normally happens with girlfriends when they lend the car to a boyfriend. The boyfriend will drive the car, or they will volunteer to service the car of the girlfriend to impress them. You know? And then they take it to the garage, and then they fail to pay. And they are scared to tell the girlfriend that I don't have money to pay for the car.
Okay.
They keep on lying to the girlfriend and say, no, the garage is still this with your car. And then the garage will set the time frame. If that time frame lapses, the bank is the garage is going to call the bank, and the bank is going to come in to process the vehicle. So the case that we do is an education on the other hand for the listeners to say, please note that when you take the car to the dealer or to the panel beater, they have got what is called a garagement lien. They've got a right before the bank.
I'm interested in hearing the whole story in terms of what actually happened, Baba. I'm afraid you might forget to tell us.
Okay. Yeah. In this particular case, so the bank is going to take up this matter with their lawyers and see how they deal with the panel beater.
That's for another car. That was with the panel beaters.
Different.
Yeah.
Yes. And then the second one, also they're going to investigate how they're going to deal with this. Because I said, guys, the second car was also an expensive car.
Yeah.
For 40,000 rand, that's what it is.
I won't be surprised if one of their buddies is one of the people that bought it.
That's the investigation that we are conducting now to check who bought this vehicle.
Yeah.
What is the relationship with the bank? Because sometimes you get the because we have seen
it's insane because you'd find out that it was not even nobody bid for it, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody bid for it. Then they decided to do their own secret bidding more, like auction more.
Yeah. I remember I mentioned this on this platform when I said there's a bank who ended up saying that, who ended up training their own employees to assess and validate the vehicles. Because this particular bank could not trust the valuers anymore, the professional valuers anymore. Because the professional valuers were lying to the bank. They would say this vehicle of 500,000 or 600,000 or whatever price. They would say when they assess the vehicle and give the information to the bank, they would say this car is finished.
I know.
the gearbox is finished. The engine is finished. There's no car here. It's just a shell. Don't look at this nice body. Nice and clean body. Yes, the body is nice and clean, but inside that body, there's nothing. And then the bank takes the word of the professional valuer, and they believe it. And they sell the car for next to nothing because they think the person is just buying a share. Only to find that there's absolutely nothing wrong with this car. Nothing. The car is 100%. So when the bank started receiving complaints from the consumers, then they started to investigate this, and they found that the consumers were right. So they said, hey, you know what? We can't use these professional dealers anymore. Because what they are doing is fraud. And then they tell their buddies, hey, we valued that car for 40,000 or for 30,000 rand. It's a 500,000 car. We're right. Because the auctioneer will announce that, okay, this particular car, yes, is a 2016 model or it's a 2018 model. However, the engine and the gearbox are gone. So when you think of a 150,000 rand engine and the 120,000 rand gearbox, you think it's not worth it. And somebody buys it for 40,000 and says, no, I'm going to use it for another car. I'm going to find that there's nothing wrong with this car. And we're not the owner of the car, the consumer, you're going to pay the shortfall.
No, Maganjan.
So in this case, the bank is going to investigate the issue of 40,000 rand. But I can tell you now, without going to the third vehicle, I said to the bank, while you're going to investigate, I expect you to come with the response to say you are writing off all the balances. I'm not expecting anything less than that.
Wow.
I said, make it easy for yourself. Just write off. You've lost. Yes, but we'll hear next week because they said you're going to come back next week.
Do you have a strong case against them, though?
Yeah.
Taking them to the cleaners.
You know?
Oh, that's good. Yeah, at least you've given us something to smile about, Baba. Some good news to our wonderful listener. They might not be our listener, but I know that most of our listeners are the ones that are actually being helped by your being assisted by your company.
Yes.
All right. So that's it, Baba, as far as the testimony is concerned, a very interesting and encouraging one indeed. Now, let's look at the issue of estates. I know that you were bombarded by questions from our consumers. Let's start with the first one that came through.
Okay. I think the listener might be listening now, but the reason why I'm mentioning this question without mentioning where it came from is that I think it's common. It's a common question. The question was, my wife passed away in a certain year, right? And then I've got an attorney that is helping me with the estate. This is the surviving spouse now. The wife passed away, and the husband is still alive. So he has got an attorney that is handling the estate, because the estate is more than 250,000 rand. So there was a bond with the bank, that's a home loan, and the wife was insured. So the insurance against the bank. And there was a surplus of over 60,000, about 60,000 rand surplus. Meaning, the insured amount was more than the value, more than the outstanding balance on the bond. So the bank refunded the surplus. So what they did, they took or they deducted 4,000 rand for cancellation fees. Of which this particular listener didn't understand what was that for. So I had to explain to him what he said. Yeah, the bank didn't fund the full amount. They kept or withheld 4,000 rand. And that is for the cancellation attorneys to go to the bid office to cancel the bond, to tell the bid office that the property is no longer owned to the bank. I think that is clear enough. So now, the query here or the unhappiness here is against the lawyer. The client is not getting his own lawyer. He says the bank has already refunded the money. 60,000 less 4,000 rand to the lawyer. And I need that money as soon as yesterday because there are certain things that I have to do. And the lawyer said, I'm going to get the money tomorrow or next week. And next week comes next week.
Yes, your line is fading a bit then, that Samatla. I don't know if maybe if you can move around fast. And the lawyer said what? Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, he said he claimed the money from the lawyer, and the lawyer said he'll get the money the next week. Next week became next week. Then it came the next day, became the next day, until now. So he was very unhappy to say, what is wrong with my lawyer? Why can't he just give me my money? But it's his problem, because the bank gave him his money. So I explained to him that, look, what could have happened here? Indeed, the bank refunded the money to the estate. So they didn't pay the money into the attorney's trust account. They paid the money into the estate lead account. So when the person is deceased, the executor opens what is called estate lead account. That's the account in the name of the deceased, the dead person. Why? Because every cent that goes into that account and goes out of that account must be accounted for to the master of the high court. So now, if the bank has transferred or paid in, let's say, 50,000 rand into that account, the lawyer cannot just take the money and give it to the surviving spouse. No, it doesn't work like that. So I had to explain this today. To the client. Why is this important? Because now this can cause a fight between him and the lawyer. And almost find that the lawyer is right and the client is wrong. So in this case, I presume that the client is wrong, the lawyer is right, because I don't have feedback, but I was talking on Facebook. When I hear the story, then I can immediately think this is what has happened. So now, when the money is in the estate lead account, before the lawyer can distribute the money to the heirs or the beneficiaries in the estate, he has to get permission first from the master of the high court. Why? What if there's a claim against the estate that the deceased doesn't know about? For example, especially when it's men who are deceased, there are often claims from the children born out of wedlock. A man who was married for 40 years, he dies today, and then there's a 3-month baby here who's coming to claim. There's a baby mama who's coming to claim for a three-month baby. It happens quite often. So the baby mama might not necessarily contact the executor or the surviving spouse. They will go straight to the master of the high court. And then the master of the high court will register that claim. So when the estate has to be wound up, then the master will alert the executor and say, look, there is a claim here. There's this person here called baby mama who has got a claim against the estate. If it's the wife that is deceased, okay, it's highly unlikely that the wife can hide the children or the child, but it can happen that the wife can say, this is my younger brother. I want to find that it's her child that she had while she was at school or immediately after school, and then the parents hid this from the son-in-law or the in-laws, didn't mention that their daughter has got a child. They say, no, this is our child. So it's the brother or sister of your in-law or of your wife.
Of it's a mama house.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. And this is unacceptable. So now, that child, when the mother is deceased, has got a right to claim. To say, hey, I've got a claim against this. This is my mom. I'm the child. So that's why the Master of the High Court has to approve the claim. So before that, there might be claims from the creditors as well. You know the retailers, the shops. You know, those retailers, you named. They could take a claim against the estate. So they have to be paid first before the beneficiaries or the heirs inherit from this estate. So I was explaining to the listener that this could be the reason why the lawyer cannot give you the money, because he hasn't got the approval from the Master of the High Court. Because he has to make sure that all the claims are in and all the claims are settled before you can get your inheritance. I think that is key.
But why is it hard for the lawyer to explain that to the client?
The way I listened to the client, I could sense that the lawyer could have explained to the client, but the client didn't understand.
Oh, okay. The client didn't trust the lawyer.
Exactly.
I see. Okay.
And it happens quite often. Mm. And the other thing that I wanted to highlight in this is that, again, there is a backlog with the Masters of the High Court because of COVID. In Johannesburg, the lawyers are not allowed to set their foot in the master's office. So, for example, if a deceased has got a car, right, and the disc is expiring in January 2021 or February 2021, and the surviving spouse is still driving that car, and the surviving spouse wants to renew the disc of that vehicle, he or she can't. Because there must be an executor appointed. So you could have a lawyer that had to apply for the letters of executorship. But that lawyer has not been appointed because the master has got the backlog. Therefore, you cannot drive that car because it's not supposed to be on the road. So there are many challenges that are facing the estate. And many clients are blaming their own lawyers. They don't trust their own lawyers when they tell them that, look, we are trying to follow up with the Master of the High Court. They are not taking our calls. We send the emails, nobody's returning our emails. When we try to go there personally, we are not allowed to go in because we are a practitioner. Only the clients are allowed, not a professional. Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Okay. Unfortunately, because of time, that's going to be it for this evening. Hopefully, next week you will come up with some more questions from our listeners. And of course, we'll be looking at also estates. Yeah, because there's a lot that people don't know. And I know you talked about the baby mamas going to, what's that, the High Court or
Master's
Court. And how many people know about the Master's Court and its duties? And so these are a lot of things. I mean, there are a lot of things that our people don't know about. Right now, you have a son, you have a child with this person, he died, and you don't know what to do. So the child is suffering. You don't even know that they have the right to claim from their parents, you know, inheritance and all that, you know. So these are some of the things that we need to enlighten our people about. And of course, you're not encouraging people to commit adultery and all that. Be faithful to your wife and don't be involved with married people. That's very, very important. We're not condoning that, but be that as it may, how one night you like it.
Yes.
Yeah, now people don't know these things. Baba, Labu Fellow, what can we say to the listeners of Radio Pulpit in closing? And after that, give them your contact details.
Oh, yeah, I can say to your listeners, please seek clarity, please seek help whenever you have got issues. So that, because at times, if there's a claim, sometimes the claim might expire before you claim, and then by the time you start to claim, it's too late. So seek assistance, and we are there to help you in a time of need.
And of course, keep us updated on this case. Yeah,
yes,
the three cars. I'm interested to find out, Jorge, what transpired at the end.
Yes, yes, sir.
All right. Your contact details?
010. 109. I forgot it.
It does happen sometimes. It does happen. Okay, I'll try to give it to them while we're still here. We're still talking to Ndate Elias Samat. Let me try to help this brother of mine. Hey, she did.
It's 010. We're grilling that.
010, yes. 109. Yes.
4982.
Okay.
Yes, and then the WhatsApp number.
The WhatsApp number, what is it?
067.
067.
226.
226.
5934. 5934. Yes, and please, people, when they send their WhatsApps, they must please identify themselves and where they are from, and they go straight to the point. We are still getting the WhatsApp, so I'll say hi.
Hi, H-U-D. I don't know how to pronounce all that. H-U-D. Is it how you doing?
Yeah. So the thing is that now, then we end up engaging in another dialogue. Because when you say hi, what does it mean? So you say hi back.
Yeah.
And then say, how are you doing? You know?
Yeah. So go straight to the point.
And tell us where you are. Because sometimes you may be asking us a question about the estate. And then if you are in group 10, we can quickly refer you to the master of type or the person in that office who can assist you at the nearby town.
So they must go straight to the point because they might be saying hi and then waiting for you to respond. And the next thing, but then that someone is not responding. Can they just go straight to the point and give them, they must give you all the details that you requested?
Yeah, in this instance, actually the greeting is not necessary.
Okay.
You can, to be polite, you can greet, but we don't mind if you can greet and go straight to the point because you can say hi and then expect us to say hi back. It may take some time.
Okay. All right. They heard it from Ndate Samat. That was Ndate Elias Samat there, and his contact details again is, let me give you his WhatsApp number, 067-226-5934. 067-226-5934. And the landline is, or the line is 010-109-4982. Ndate Elias Samatla right here on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And a few minutes from now, we'll be speaking to somebody from the Global Business Roundtable, as always, between now, Akiri, and 7:30. That's the time in Lahore we talk to somebody from GBR on AM 657.
It's difficult to face the overwhelming pressures of life alone. Sometimes we just need someone to talk to, someone to listen to us. And what better way to do that than through a quick and easy WhatsApp text? Whether you're having a hard time coping with school, family issues, being bullied, depression, or anxiety, speak to someone who cares today. Send a WhatsApp message to 064-530-6805 or 074-995-9085. Our I Am Youth Counseling team, Charles Dudoy and Danny Vambili, are ready to connect with you today.
Do you want to grow your business sales? Do you know that you can advertise on Radio Pulpit, Radio Pulpit website, The Word for Today magazine, and The Word for You Today magazine at the ridiculously low prices? Yes, you can indeed. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, offers you the platform to grow your businesses at the best affordable prices. Simply contact me, Godfrey Mwabi, on godfrey@radiopulpit.co.za or call me on 012-334-1265 and I'll tell you how. Remember, I've made it my business to grow your business.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.